It was also the celebration of Shavuot, which is the bringing in of the harvest. So that was the celebration that people had every year. People had every year in Jerusalem. And they would bring people into Jerusalem. And of course, if you read in Acts chapter 2, it said there were people in Israel on the day of Pentecost from all over the world. There were Jews from all over the world on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. So let's look over at, I want to look first at Luke 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Now I'm in John, so I better move over to Luke. Luke 11, verse 11. And this is Jesus speaking. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? People make receiving the Holy Spirit, if you're already a believer, people make the gift of the Holy Spirit a difficult thing to do. Well, what does it say here is the prerequisite to receive the Holy Spirit? It's to ask. So, if you're looking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I recommend that you do what Jesus has commanded us to do, is to ask. That's how I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is I asked. Now, the factor, the hitch on that was, I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit includes all of the gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of which is praying in other tongues. Now, that didn't happen to me right off the bat. But I tell you, because of the truth, because of the Word of God, because of what Jesus promised, I had no doubt that I had received the Holy Spirit. I had no doubt that I had received the Holy Spirit because he told me, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Jesus, you remember, says, you shall ask anything in my name and I will give it to you. Well, that just seems like it's just, I've asked a bunch of things. Jesus said, you ask anything in my name, and I will give it to you. Now, you have to go to Jesus. If it doesn't appear that has happened, you're going to have to go to Jesus and have a relationship with him. You can't just throw Jesus out. You have to go to Jesus. You have to go to the Father and have a relationship and find out what's going on. What don't I get? What don't I understand? What did I not hear? Amen? So you have to have that relationship with God. You are living in a world which is full of lies. You're living in a world which is full of deception. You're living in a world that denies God, that denies that God made the world, that denies that God made you. You are living in a world that denies him. But God said, I made you, and I made the heavens and the earth, and I have put my Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So now you come to him and you have a relationship with him and let him speak to you. Amen? You may not do it the same way as somebody else. You may not do it the same way I do it. You may not come in prayer one way or another way. But come to the Lord in prayer. Come to the Lord in prayer. Well, I tried everything Pastor Jim said. Well, then try something he didn't say. Amen. Just go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? You know, that one's not working for me. I'm just going to fall down on my face just right here in this living room and just let you speak to me. I want to hear the voice of God. Read the Word of God. and say, Father, come and show yourself to me. And don't give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. I said, don't ever give up. Amen. You are a child of the living God. So Jesus said, how much more will the Holy, will the Father give the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask? Over in John chapters 14 through 16, at the Last Supper, Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit in detail. Amen? He introduces the Holy Spirit in detail. Let's look a little bit at some of that portion of it. In the 14th chapter of John, in verse 26, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the Comforter, and that the Father will send Him to you. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So He is beginning to talk to them about the fact that I am going away, but I'm going to send the Comforter. And the Comforter has come, and he is the Spirit of truth, and He is going to bring all things to your remembrance, and He shall teach you all things. Okay, verse 15, chapter 15, the next chapter, verse 26, also verse 26. When the Comforter is come, the Spirit of truth, He shall testify of, Jesus said, He shall testify of me. He is going to testify of Jesus. And then in chapter 16, verse 7, it is expedient, it's important, it is essential that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Now, the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And you can read that portion. You can go in there and read that portion in chapter 16. In verse 12 of chapter 16, he says, after he describes that, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of. He says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will take of mine and show it unto you. I think these are very interesting passages because it really gives you an idea of what the Holy Spirit is going to do when Jesus departs. They were used to having Jesus, you know, walking with Jesus, just, you know, having Jesus everywhere. You got 12 guys hanging out, you know, ministry team. This is great. You know, we've been doing this. Jesus, are we going to keep doing this? No. I'm going away. But I'm going to send a ghost. What? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. See, they didn't understand that the Father was speaking to Jesus, and Jesus was doing everything that the Father was telling Him. And by the same token, that you are going to hear everything that the Father is telling you to do in the same way that Jesus was. He heard His Father. He heard His Father. He saw His Father do. He heard His Father say. And so that's what He was showing them in His ministry, how that they were going to begin to minister as well. He sent out the 12 in Luke chapter 9. He sent out the 70. That worked out so well. He sent out 70 more in Luke chapter 10. And so He said He gave them power over sickness and over demonic powers. And they went out, you know, and they come back. Hey, even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus says, rejoice not in that. Don't rejoice in power. Don't rejoice in miracles. Rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven. So that's your joy. Your joy is not, hey, man, we did all the stuff. Your joy is, hey, my name is written in heaven. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm walking in the presence of God. That's what our life is to be, is walking in the presence of Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit causes us to minister to the world. and love the world and bless the world and teach them that God's not against them, but God is for them. You know, God's not against transgenders. He's for them. He's just not for their transgender. He's for them as He created them. He's for them because He loves you. And He created you to walk with Him, to know Him. He's not against homosexuals. He's not against smokers. Glory to God. Or, other people do all kinds of other sins. You know, adulterers. He's not against adultery. He doesn't hate adulterers. You know, let's go with some traditional sins, right? You know, He's not against you in the sense that He doesn't hate you. The Bible's not hate speech. The Bible's love speech. You know, don't touch that hot stove. Don't walk out in front of that bus. Yeah.
You don't love me. I wanted to walk out in front of that bus. I thought that'd be a great thing. I just feel that bus smash up against my flesh and me thrown 50, 100,000 feet. You know, I just thought that'd be fun. Let's go. Can we do that? Or stand out in front of a bull. Go to Danny's place and stand out in front of a bull. Danny will tell you, don't do that. And you'll be scared of Danny because he's really big. And, you know, you'll think he's mad at you. No, God's not mad at you. God loves you. He's given you the Holy Spirit so He could lead you from the inside out. He wants to lead you. So I would seek the Holy Spirit. Over in, remember we talked about this on Resurrection Sunday, is that when Jesus was risen from the dead that night, He came into the upper room and he said, peace be to you, and then He breathed on them. He breathed on them. He breathed on them. And He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, that wasn't Pentecost. That was the day of the... That was Passover. The end of Passover. That was resurrection. And He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you retain or remit or pay or forgive, they're forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, that is, you didn't get forgiven. That's the way it is. See, because he gave you authority, because He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. I believe they did that night. I don't think it waited 50 days. I believe they received the Holy Ghost. They were born again that night. Amen? They were born again that night. So they have the Holy Spirit, and then He began to teach them for 40 days. He said they taught Him. He taught them for 40 days after that resurrection. So they had 40 days. It's the Pentecost means 50. The word Pentecost means 50. There was 50. So there's 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. There are 40 of those days got used up by Jesus teaching them. And then He went to heaven. Then He ascended. So when they went to pray, and we'll talk about that, they went to prayer. Let's find out about that. And let's over in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to end up in Pentecost, by the way, just so you know. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. He had given commandments through the Holy Ghost. I'm not reading it. I'm just giving you the highlights. He had given them commandments through the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom He had chosen. Now, this is before Pentecost, but He had given commandments through the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus had the Holy Ghost, but He gave them commandments through the Holy Ghost. So He was teaching them. Remember we talked about that? He's been teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God for 40 days. I believe the Holy Spirit on the inside of them was transforming them, changing them. They were receiving revelation from Jesus, from the Holy Ghost, who was indwelling them. You know, it's like you are now prepared to receive. When Jesus said back there in John, He says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You couldn't receive it. You couldn't handle it now. But the Holy Spirit, when He's come, He will lead you into all truth. Well, here we have that Jesus is now, for that last 40 days after His resurrection, had been teaching them, and He said that He was giving commandments through the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, the sent ones, the ones who were to be sent. Okay, Acts 1:3. So for 40 days of speaking things pertaining to the what? The kingdom of heaven. That's powerful. So it wasn't about just about your ministry, you know, healing people, touching, you know, and, you know, what it's going to be like to get people saved. But things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said earlier in his ministry, has come to you. The kingdom of heaven has come to you. Of course, you remember John began to preach it. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It has arrived. It is at the door. The kingdom of heaven is here. So we meditate on that. We remember these things, that the kingdom of heaven is here. And we are living in the kingdom of heaven right now. If you're born from above, if you are a Christian who has received Jesus Christ by faith, and your sins are forgiven because of that, you are living in the kingdom of heaven. You're not waiting for heaven. You're not waiting for Jesus to come. You have already entered the kingdom of heaven. You are living in the kingdom of heaven right now. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. He says, for our conversation, the word conversation there means your manner of living, your lifestyle. For our manner of living is in heaven. So when we walk together, when we greet one another, I can greet somebody across the other side of the world and say, praise the Lord. And there you lift their hands, they thank God, give me a big hug. Because I'm their brother and they're my brother in the Lord. We know one another after the Spirit. Amen. Could be your neighbor down the street. You know, somebody you meet. We had lunch yesterday with some folks who we had met one time before. But I mean, yeah, then you end up sitting at that end of the table and you end up fellowshipping and sharing your heart, because that, just as David did with the brother, is that all of a sudden God has brought you together so that you can build each other up and encourage one another. That's what you want to do if you're going off to college. You want to find somebody who is part of your belief system. You know, you don't want to go off and say, okay, I'm going to kind of push that aside and see what else I can know. No, you already know that the enemy is desiring to have you, like Jesus said to Peter, he desires to have you to sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Over in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he commanded them not to depart Jerusalem. And I want you to read the whole passage, Acts chapter 1 and 2, all right? Acts chapter 1 and 2. Go read those passages. So he commanded them not to depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Of course, you know, we remember him talking about that back in John, right? You know. And talking about that, you know, back at the Last Supper. So he was discussing that with them. Acts chapter 1, 5. He said, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing. Ghost and Spirit, all of those come out of the word pneuma, which is the word, the Greek word where we get pneumatic, which is, you know, you've heard of pneumatic tools, you know, that. You plug them into the air compressor and they, you know, they take your lug nuts off your car, you know. And so pneumatic or pneuma is air or spirit. He breathed on them, you remember? And then we'll have some more of that here in just a few minutes. He says, you shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's in the King James. Not many days from now. Acts 1, 6, and 7, they're asking the question. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and they're like, hey, by the way, when is the kingdom, when are you coming, and when are you going to take down the Romans, you know, or, you know, and like we'd be saying to Jesus, when are you going to take down the Iranians, and, you know, when are you going to get us free from all the liberals and all that, you know. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know that. Don't sweat that.
So verse 8, he gets back to finish. You ever talk to your kids or talk to somebody, you know, and they're kind of got a question that kind of, hey, you know, what about this? And it's like off in left field. So Jesus comes back in verse 8 to finish his thought. So he says, you will receive the Holy Ghost not many days from now, but you shall receive power, verse 8, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, they have received the Holy Spirit back 40 days before. But he says, now you're going to receive what? Power. You're going to receive dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, which is power. Power that moves something, that performs something. All right? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So in other words, it's like you'll be witnesses in Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas, and the rest of the world. So no, you keep pushing out further and pushing out further. In Acts 1, 12 through 14, they returned to Jerusalem. So after this, you know, after Jesus had commanded them, they returned to Jerusalem and went up into an upper room. So that's the 11. So these are the ones who were out there at the up on Mount Olives when Jesus was raised, when he was ascended to heaven. He said the cloud received him into heaven. And so he did that, and then they went back to Jerusalem and went into an upper room. And they all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication, that's more prayer, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Oh, Jesus had brothers? Well, yeah. Yeah. You read back earlier in the Gospels, you found out that Joseph and Mary actually, you know, after Jesus was born, had kids. So he has brethren. Now you figure Jesus, okay, he's just ascended, and here's the women who are part of the ministry team, the ones who have been, a lot of them had extra money, that pocket money that you know, they got from either their own businesses or their husbands, whatever. And they were following the ministry of Jesus and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, after he's been crucified, risen from the dead, and then watched him ascend, you know, and then here she is in the prayer meeting. Kind of makes you think of Peggy. You know, after all this stuff, you know, Pastor Jim, and now Pastor Jim's gone to heaven. And yeah, now, you know, Peggy's back in the thick of it, you know. She's leading people in prayer, taking over politics. I mean, she's blowing and going. Amen? That's what you should do, you know, when things change. Just keep blowing and going. If you're still breathing, like Jackie, you know, she's not resting. She's not slowing down. She's sped up. Amen. It's so powerful because God is using her mightily to touch these women over at this shelter. And I don't know what else she's doing. She's doing a bunch of other stuff. Amen. I know Connie is. Connie's doing all kinds of stuff. You mean you can't find time to, when she's not either in prayer or doing something. See? So they all continued in prayer in one accord right there with all these folks. And I just think it was great that Mary, the mother of Jesus, she didn't retire when Jesus ascended. She went to work. That's like the rest of you, going to work. Amen. Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one accord in one place. They were all together in one. Well, that was the same thing as they were at the beginning of the prayer time. So the first day of the 10 days, they were all together in one accord in one place. They went into an upper room. Well, here they are on the 10th day, on the day of Pentecost.
They're also in one accord. So they are forgiven one another. They're walking together. They're walking together in love, and they are praying for the gift of the Holy Ghost. They're praying for whatever that is that Jesus said is coming. We're praying for it. Acts 2:2, and suddenly there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Now it didn't say their hair was blowing. It said there was a sound. It said there was a sound. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So people say, well, okay, were they in the temple? Where were they? Well, they were in a house, because the scripture said they're in a house. Did y'all read that part? Where were they? Filled all the house where they were sitting. So they were sitting, by the way. So they were sitting. I like details, don't you? I mean, you may not, I don't know if you like details. I like details. I like to find out where they were, what they were doing, what was it like, you know. So they were praying, they were in one accord. Here comes this sound, it's a rushing sound of a wind, but that's weird. You know, it's like when you hear the train coming, you know, you don't see the train, but you hear it. Sound of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them, now this thing they did see, there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire. Well, cloven means like split, like a hoof of a cow or, you know, some of these animals. So it's split. So little cloven tongues as of fire. So if you know what your fire looks like in your fireplace? Right there on the little wood in the fireplace. It's just waving right there. You know, that's what it looked like. Sitting on top of who? He said, sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. So this was the first evidence of the Spirit, is that they were all sitting together, praying in one place, and the Holy Spirit came with the sound of a rushing mighty wind, to the initial coming of the Holy Spirit for power. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit gave the utterance. Okay? So the utterance is the words. If I were to whisper in your ear, in Guy's ear, say, bologna sandwich, and he were to say, bologna sandwich, I had given him the utterance, and he said it. Or if I were to say, praise the Lord, and he would say, praise the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit, God gave the words, he gave the utterance, but who did the speaking? Let's read it again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak. Who began to speak? They did. We're using the words in the sentence. Who began to speak? They did. They began to speak. So the Holy Ghost, I just want you to be aware that the Holy Ghost doesn't do the speaking. You do. It's you. It's your mouth, your lips, your tongue. You are the one who's speaking. So who gives the utterance? Who gives the words? Help me out. Spirit gives the utterance. All right? So they began to speak, and the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gave the utterance. Now, there were at the Feast of Pentecost, dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men, Jews, out of every nation under heaven. Now, they're speaking in other tongues. If I were to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it tells you, first couple of verses, it says, if any man speaketh in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays, but his understanding is unfruitful. It doesn't say, if any man speaks in an unknown, in another tongue, he speaks in French, or he speaks in a foreign language. a known language. If you look at First Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if I speak with the tongues of who? Men and of angels. Apparently there's tongues that if you could speak with the tongue of men, which you do, or an angel. So the suggestion is that you can speak with the tongue of men or an angel. That's in 1 Corinthians 13. So he says now that all of these people under heaven, every nation under heaven, now when this was noised abroad, or when this sound was heard of them speaking in other tongues, apparently they'd come out of the house by then, poured out into the street. So he says that the multitude came together. They were hearing all of this. The multitude came together and were confounded or confused, because that every man, listen, every man heard them speak, them as a group. So every man in that group of international folks was hearing the entire group of the disciples who were praying in other tongues, heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying that to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Aren't these all just Texans? Not very sophisticated. They don't know all these languages that we know. There's no way they could know, you know, Iranian. You know, these people don't typically have five languages that they speak. They were amazed that because of they were Galileans, that they would be speaking in any of these languages, much less they were all speaking the same language, apparent as it appeared to them. So they're all amazed. And how hear, now they're describing what they heard. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then they name all these nations. Here, let's look at them for a minute. Acts chapter 2. So how do we hear in all these guys speaking in our language? So, and there were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers at Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, in going over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if I were to read that to you, in verse 2, chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, it says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, back over in Acts chapter 2 here, he said in verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So they're hearing this in their language. And it says the language wherein we were born. So the language in which I was born, I mean, is the language you spoke as you were a little baby, a little boy, a little kid, learning, you know, your English. Well, your English is unique to your little part of the world, isn't it? And everybody, they're saying, the way I'm seeing this, is that not only were they speaking, you know, proper English or proper French or proper German, but they were speaking a language that you recognize from the heart. Our own language wherein we were born is that language that grandma spoke, that, you know, when you're on her knee. They spoke a language that got their attention. And we heard them speak. And each one of them heard them as a group speak in their own language. So the miracle was not in the speaking, although they were speaking foreign languages. No. Read the text. It was a miracle of the hearing. Because in fact, they were speaking in unknown tongues. Yet the hearing was every man heard them speak as a group. So they said, the Phrygian and the other guy, because they all speak Greek anyway, you know, so they can kind of nod to each other and talk to each other. So the Parthian said, "Hey, they're speaking Parthian. You hear that?" And then the Phrygian said, no, they're speaking Phrygian." And the other guy said, no, they're speaking Arabian." Each man heard them speak in his own language, wherein we were born. It's powerful. Look where I'm at. God was doing a mighty work that day, and then Peter stood up. Peter stood up to preach. And he said, he lifted up his voice in verse 14 and said to them, "You men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel." And he quotes, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." This is Joel 2:28. "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Which is what they were doing. Prophesying. They were prophesying. But God used that other tongue for himself to speak to the crowd. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and in signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And then at the end of that message, the men cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he commands them, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." The power of God has been given to you to walk with him, to know him, to be transformed into his image, that sin no longer has dominion over you. It's not just to pray in other tongues, but it's to lay hands upon the sick. It's to cast out devils. And it's to transform your life, because the power of sin has been destroyed. Sin no longer has dominion over you. You don't have to stop sinning, because the Holy Spirit will stop you himself. Amen? As you spend time in his presence, As you spend time in the presence of God, over in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, you know, the things that I don't want to do are the things that I do, and the things that I do want to do, I can't do. God, help me. And then Romans chapter 8 says, or at the end of the chapter, it says, I thank my God through my Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Romans chapter 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You no longer walk according to the flesh. The power of the flesh has no power over you. It seems to. No, it doesn't. Well, yeah, he's a liar because your flesh is a liar. Hey, I've got power over you. No, you don't. No, Jesus Christ has power over me. He lives on the inside of me. He delivers me from the power of sin. So God is good. Thank God for Pentecost. Thank God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he delivers us. And now, as you get into the Word, as you open the Word of God, as you meditate upon the Word, just like Joshua, just like we've been teaching in Joshua, is that don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Don't let the Word of God depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And then shall you have good success. Amen? You read the story of Caleb, who with Joshua went into the land and with 10 other guys. And the 10 other guys were just, oh my gosh, it's so awful. We can't even make it. There's giants in the land and they've got big swords and we're going to... And Joshua and Caleb come back and say, we're well able to take them. What does that have to do with? It has to do with how big is your God. How big is your God? Amen? Amen. My God's big on the inside of me. I'm not very big, but God is. Amen. God's big on the inside of me. I'm not afraid of anything. Ooh. No, I'm not afraid of anything. Amen. God is all-powerful, and he lives on the inside of me. Amen. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. If God tells me. If, you know, it's like Moses said, you know, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. So if God doesn't go, you don't go. But God is going to go with you to Wheaton. Amen. God's going to go with you to Wheaton. God's going to go with you because he's already given you authority to walk in the path that you're walking in. Amen? Because he's your God. Because he loves you and he's taking care of you, Holly. Hallelujah. Amen. But the enemy wants to come and discourage you. The enemy wants to come and knock you down and make you think that, well, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to manage. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. When you hear that, those are fighting words. No, you go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you that the devil told me today I was going to lose and I was going to fail. But I know that's not true. I know that I win. I know that I walk with him and he walks with me and there's nothing that shall by any means hurt me. Thank God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but he now is living on the inside of every single one of you believers. Don't you know that he's walking with you? And he's got a great ministry for you, no matter where that is, no matter what that is doing. It starts exactly where you are. You don't have to go somewhere else to start your ministry, the ministry that God's given to you. It may not be a ministry. It may be a marketplace ministry. It may be that whatever God's got you doing. Now, he could change that any time. But for the time being, start today. Start today. Peter, I mean, he just got up. He'd been praying, you know. He was a fisherman before all this. Then he walked around with Jesus for 3 years. Now Jesus is gone. What are you going to do? Now Jesus is gone. What are you going to do? How are you going to figure it out? Until the Holy Spirit came and indwelt him and baptized him and gave him power. You can receive power. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask God. Just like I read at the very beginning. Whoever asks the Father for the Holy Spirit, he will give it to you. If you want me to pray for you today, I can do that. Amen. God's good. If you need to be born again, just give your life to Jesus first. Start there. And then he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is your life. It used to be a TV show. This is your life. This is your life. Is as a believer, as a human being, God comes and indwells you and gives you his grace, his love, his peace. He indwells you and takes care of all of your needs. Have a relationship with him. Don't just come to church and sit there and hope that works out. No. Press in. Go home today. Pray every day. In Jesus' name. Father, we love you. Thank you that you're a good God. Thank you that the power of the Holy Spirit is in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We love you. We give you praise. Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, having come from the Father to empower us to live and to minister life to the world. So, Father, we thank you and we give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you, baptize me in the Holy Spirit.